Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I am currently in my 60s and no longer as likely to tackle the heavy poundages as I once did in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physical physique to the best of my ability and for the remainder of my years. I recently declared a quest for optimal wellness. You're invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online communities. Before we begin tonight's show, I have a quick review of The Naked Warrior. It's an exercise book. The Naked Warrior, a tome by Russian strength expert Pavel, promises to reveal the secrets of the super strong and demonstrate how one can become phenomenally mighty by performing only two bodyweight exercises. No weights, no pills, no gimmicks. This sounded too good to be true. Cautiously, I read the book and tried the program. Pavel delivers on his promises. The daily workout, utilizing simple tension and leveraging, as well as esoteric martial arts techniques, is indeed easy to understand. Performing the exercises, however, requires everything you've got and then some. Within days, I was able to crank out a couple of good reps of movements that initially imbalanced me. The secrets Pavel reveals are mostly ones you already know. If you practice something daily, you get better at it. Work smarter, not harder. To get the results you want, you heard these things before and no doubt believe them. Pavel's genius comes in demonstrating how to apply these maxims to super strength building. Results do come quickly if you persevere, though it doesn't seem so in the beginning when you're struggling to perform one rep, and the effects of your newfound strength are measurable without machinery. I love pumping the iron, but my nomadic lifestyle leaves me little time to enjoy the pleasures of my home gym or a public gym. The Naked Warriors give me a way of building my strength anywhere, and the results translate well when I hit the weights. Onwards to the Phoenix Protocols with Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm using a slightly different setup, so I'm hoping that my microphone is catching up everything and I'm broadcasting okay.
Okay, fantastic. You sound great.
Good, good. I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good and really looking forward to what you'll be covering tonight. I read the description. It's like, all right.
Good, good. Well, so one of the things that I wanted to stress before we got started is that, so for your listeners, I'm going with the Stan Lee theory that every comic book is someone's first comic book. So this is potentially my first exposure to some of your listeners, and maybe they haven't heard me before. So I just wanted to go through and explain real quickly that I was, unfortunately, I did contract COVID back in December and went through it and had a little bit of a rough go of it. Thankfully, I wasn't anywhere near the level where I needed to be hospitalized or I needed to take any sort of medicine. But because of that, I was down for a significant portion, and then I had to go through and do the self-quarantine. So I stayed away from the gym for a little while. And I think going back and reflecting on the previous appearances that I've had on your show in this year, I felt like I was a little bit down on myself, which I think we're all our own worst critics, and we tend to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We tend to be harsher with ourselves than we are with others. But there, whenever I started to go through and make my bounce back, I felt like the bounce back that I had to go through back in April here in Oklahoma, whenever the gym started to shut down, it was a little bit easier. And then it felt like this time around, I'm not certain if it was the COVID, I'm not certain if it was the mental state, or just the fact that we've been going through this pandemic for so long. But I was growing seriously concerned around Christmas time and then into January and then into February as well, because I felt like I wasn't bouncing back nearly as much. And I was afraid that possibly I had lost my motivation. And I was really having to dig down to find that mental energy to try to figure out, you know, what was wrong with me. But then there's that parable of the guy that he has the diamond mine, and he ends up selling it because he wasn't getting, you know, the result, the yield that he wanted. And I said, oh, this mine is useless. And then he goes through and he sells it. And then the next guy comes in, he digs 5 feet, and he finds one of the world's largest deposits of diamonds. I don't even know if that story is true or not. It could just be a parable, but I think the analogy holds. Because
yeah.
there was something that happened to me there in late February. And so if it's a thing where you're a sculptor, and as is my understanding, the sculptor's job is not to add more marble to the statue. His job is to reveal the statue that's hidden within by removing the unnecessary. And I think every once in a while you're going to come along. So you've got your hammer and you've got your chisel and you're chipping away, but the results aren't quite what you're wanting them to be. But then you come to a fissure that you didn't know was there. And with that one hit of the hammer, you open up a larger expanse. And so suddenly the results start coming back very quickly. And then you're reminded of, like you said in your review, you're reminded of the love of the gym. You can physically start to see things begin to change and begin to bounce back. And so when you're in there and you're going through and you're doing the lifting in front of the mirrors, so that way you can study your form, you can start to see that separation starting to occur in your shoulders again. And you're like, oh, okay, I remember what this was like. And so it's that thing where you just kind of have to go through every once in a while and remind yourself, okay, this is what I'm wanting to do. And I'm also not wanting to beat myself up if I happen to miss a day or something like that. And so it's just trying to cultivate that positive mental attitude. And so I've been lifting weights for, it'll be, I believe, 6 years in June. So even though I've been doing it for a long time, and clearly this is now my sport of choice, this is what I enjoy doing, eventually you're going to come to that moment where you start to lose some of that passion. But then if you go through it and you just slowly start working your way through that valley, you'll get to that point where you'll find that excitement again. And so before we launch off into the subject of the splits and such, it was just kind of one of those things where if you're coming across a situation right now where you're finding yourself where your motivation is down, that's okay. It's fine. It happens to the absolute best of us. And all we have to do is go through and find a way to continue and to power through.
Very true. And I'm glad you're taking that approach because we all need to be reminded of the basics, even if we've heard this stuff before. As I said in the review, it's good to have it represented, and sometimes something you didn't learn from it the first time you're exposed to it, you learn by listening to somebody else present it. And you've been so very helpful with your insights and your advice. That I'm really looking forward to learning what you have to say about compound sets and so forth.
Well, good. Yeah. So I think, you know, all of these interviews for me, they've always been about raising your listeners' gym IQ. You know, so it's a thing where, if we were to go through and take all these interviews and go through and put them into a book or something like that, it would always be the thing where it's you and me. And we're going to sit down and we're going to have a protein shake. And I'm going to tell you, okay, this is what I do. This is what works for me personally. But yet at the same time, everyone is different. Everyone's lifestyle is going to be different. So it's a thing where you can't go through and carve and copy my routine exactly and then get the same results that I get. And so what we need to do is we need to develop everyone's gym IQ so that way they can go through and take the knowledge that I'm sharing here and then be able to adapt it into their own specific routine. It's kind of, there's the legend of in the Revolutionary War, there was a Hungarian general that George Washington brought over to train the troops. And he said the difference between the American troops and European troops is that with the Europeans, you told them to do something and they did it. With the Americans, they wanted to know why. So you tell them, okay, this is how we're going to form this formation, and they wanted to know why. Then you explain to them, this is why we're doing it. And as a result, then the Americans did it better than their European counterparts because they understood more of the strategy. So that's really what we're trying to do here is to lay out, I want you to do this, but I want you to understand why that we're doing this. So that way you can go through and adapt it. So whenever you go through and you decide that bodybuilding or just lifting weights, exercise in general, you're going to go through and you're going to start doing a research. And one of the words that gets thrown around there, the buzzwords that you'll see on either the forums or in articles, it's where people start talking about splits. And so for the uninitiated, the split is simply the term that gets thrown around for how you set up your workout. If you're going to go through and you're going to do an entire body workout, okay, so then you're going through and you're working out your entire body. But then once you start to go through and you start to see these developments, then you're going to want to go through and you're going to want to put more focus on specific body parts. So instead of doing a total body workout, then you're going to go through and you're going to split your workout up into individual sessions. And so that's what they're talking about. So if you're reading an article on bodybuilding.com or if you're on Reddit, learning things from there, and you see people talking about splits, this is what they're talking about. Now, from the beginning, whenever I was going through and doing my research, I read Joe Manganiello's book, Evolution, and he explained in his book, and you can look at him and you go, well, clearly that guy knows what he's talking about. The proof is in the pudding because look at him. And so as a result, I stole, quite frankly, I did. I stole this concept from him where he talked about antagonistic sets. And so the antagonistic sets are a thing where you're focusing on muscles that are opposite from one another. So for instance, if you're going to go through and you're going to do a bench press, which involves pushing the weight away from your chest, the best thing that you can partner that with is something like a seated cable row, where now you're pulling weight towards your chest. And by doing that, you're getting this good back and forth motion, which is then in turn going to develop muscle symmetry. And muscle symmetry is really what we're all looking for. It's the thing where everything is in proportion and that presents a more aesthetically appealing look. So whenever you go through, so I like to do groups of antagonistic sets. So as far as I'm concerned, there are four main muscle groups that you can work and pair together. So if you're going to work out four times a week, then we'll focus on these splits, but let's call it A, B, C, and D. So okay. The A part of this is going to be your chest. And then I'm going to take that chest and I'm going to partner it with my back. So that way, so I have my chest and my back day, and we'll call that workout A. So in workout A, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to do my chest and back, which is going to be a lot of bench presses or flies, any sort of exercise that's going to go through and target those chest muscles. And then I'm going to partner that with anything that's going to work my middle back. Because really, if you want to go through and develop a good, strong bench press, which seems to be, that's always the big exercise that everyone always, quantifies. Well, how much do you bench, bro? That's always the question. It's kind of like asking how fast does the car go? Everyone wants to know how much your bench press is. And so the secret to developing a bigger and stronger bench press is actually located in your back. Because if those back muscles are not symmetrical with your chest muscles, you're not going to see the type of gains that you could see if you go through and you develop that nice muscular back. So the chest and back is going to be my A workout. So okay. My B workout, again, complementing with those antagonistic sets, is going to be my shoulders, and they're going to be my lats. So the lats is basically anything that's targeted with any sort of anything like a pull-up. And I do understand that, boy, pull-ups are a difficult exercise to master. It's a thing where I can't get the number of reps that I need without some sort of assistance with it. So those back muscles in the lats, and then when you partner that with any sort of shoulder exercise. So again, with the lat, I'm pulling the weight up, and then with a military press, I'm pressing the weight over my head. So I get that good back and forth motion. So I would consider that to be my B workout. So once we move on to the C workout, that's legs. And so legs, that's everything. That can be everything from squats to deadlifts, and then going through and developing any sort of leg workout. So that's what I would consider to be my C workout. Legs are always going to be the hardest. It's the day that I think everyone kind of dreads the most, because that's when you're pushing the most weight. Mm-hmm. So I like to follow that up the next day with something that's a little more fun. And that's my arms. And so as far as the antagonistic sets, that's where I try to go through and focus both the biceps and the triceps. So that way I'm working both equally to, again, develop that muscle symmetry. So if you were to opt to work out four times a week, you're hitting all these groupings once. So you've got your A, B, C, and D workout. So now once these things begin to develop, what I started doing was, so let's say it's the first week of the month. So I'm going to start and I'm going to go A, B, C, D, A. So that way that A is repeating on Monday and on Friday. And with that, having that kind of space between these workouts, you should have all the soreness out of the way. So you can be able to go through it and hit those muscles again. And then it just begins to alternate. So the second week it rotates and it would become B, C, D, A, B. So now again, that B workout, that shoulders and lats, those are being developed on Monday and on Friday. And so then you just go through and you do the rotation 4 weeks in the month. So then by the time you get to the next month, the system just goes through and repeats over and over again. So, and that's if you're working out 5 days a week as opposed to just four.
Wow. As you know, I get bored with workouts, even if I'm having great results with the workout. After a while, they become stale. And what happens is my mind wanders and I'm not focusing on what I'm doing. So that's not a good thing. So I change it up. And recently I had added antagonistic sets. I broke down my workouts a little bit differently, and I hadn't thought to pair lats with delts, but I will do so from this point on. So I learned that. What I've been doing is biceps and triceps, chest and back, and then abs with lower back. So that's how I broke them up. And then I do each of those workouts twice a week. And then the day that's left over is my rest day, but I usually devote that to abs or to anything that I feel didn't get the full workout during the week. I can focus on that, you know, to make up for, you know, what I didn't get during the course of the workout. But I'm finding that's very effective also. Yeah, because you get a much better pump when, let's say, with the bicep and the tricep, when you've worked them out one after the other, you get a much better pump than if you work them out separately.
Right, and then also while we have these different sets, I think it's also important the way that you go through and you design your workouts, because I do think it's important to have a plan going in. I think there are times where you do have to listen to that central nervous system. You need to listen to your body. And so that way you know what you're capable of. But I think when you go in with a plan, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I move on to that, and then I'll see how I feel, and maybe I'll go through it and I'll hit this next. But I think to go through with a mental plan to decide, okay, these are the exercises that I'm going to do, I think that helps your focus. I think it improves your workouts. And so then you have to go through and you have to figure out, okay, well, how do I want to go through and design these workouts of these individual splits that I've been developing? And this is where I think it's important that you want to start out in the beginning by front loading your workout when you have the most energy with the compound lifts. And so just to explain to a novice lifter, okay, so a compound lift is anything that employs more than one joint. So if you think about the bench press, if you think about a squat or a deadlift, so you're going through and you're moving at the shoulder, you're moving at the elbow, not so much at the wrist, because the wrist wants to go through it, you want to keep that locked. But because you're going through and employing multiple joints, now you're going through and you're developing, you're pulling more muscle fibers into that singular movement. And so as a result, you're able to lift more. It makes sense if you go through and you figure, okay, well, think about all the muscles that you're pulling in and you're developing whenever you're going through and you're doing this squat. So as a result, since more muscle fibers can be engaged and that weight is going to transfer to different muscles as you're going through and you're doing this lift, that's why you're able to lift so much more with something like a squat as opposed to a single joint exercise where you're not able to bring in as many muscle fibers. So as a result, you're always going to be able to squat more than you can curl because the curl, you're just engaging the elbow with the lift, whereas with the squat, you're going through and you're pulling in muscles in your butt, your hamstrings, your quadriceps and your calves. So as a result, I feel it's better to start with those big, heavy compound lifts. And then after that, then you can start to transition in the back half of your session to something like those single joint exercises, which is designed for a little bit more of a sculpting routine. So you, obviously, whenever you're going through and you're doing these big overhead lifts in order to target your delts, you're recruiting a lot of those muscle fibers. But then at the same time, if you're going through and you're just lifting as a way of, say, like if you're just doing a dumbbell lift, like a side raise, you're not able to recruit as many muscle fibers. So as a result, you're not going to lift as many. So, but those sculpting exercises are equally important for whenever you want to go through and get cut. And so then I always do like to try to go through and end the session with something that you can do every session. So for me, that's abs. Mm-hmm. I think abs, we all need to do more ab exercise. I'm the worst of it. I know that that is my one weak spot. And it, so it's the thing where I'm constantly trying to develop. But so as a result, I try to throw a little bit of ab work in with every single exercise. So then the other thing that you could do is you can always do a little bicep action. You can also do calves because the calves and the biceps are the fastest recovering muscles in the body. So I think you could probably work those out in every session if you want to, and you wouldn't be tremendously sore. But again, this is where we go back to wanting to build that muscle symmetry. And so really you want your calves and your biceps to have the same circumference. So that's where, so it, as much as you do work your biceps, you really should work your calves as much as well. One of the things that I discovered here just in this last couple weeks, my gym has this device. It's a little bit hard to describe. It's basically just a handle. And then the handle has a strap attached to it. And that strap, at the end of the strap, it has a joint there where you can basically put in a plate. So nothing, you know, tremendously heavy, just like 10 pounds. But then you take and you roll that handle with a curling motion with your wrist, and you're basically winding that strap. You're rolling that strap up as you're curling the handle in your hands. And so that allows you to go through and help develop your forearms. And so just, you know, doing things like that, it's a fun exercise. So I curl it all the way up and then I let it roll back down and I'm controlling the weight the whole time. And so that goes through and helps me develop my forearms. So that, again, that's a little something that, you know, we all like to have those nice ropey forearms. And so that's a fun little exercise that you can do to kind of close out. So whenever you're going through and you're designing those workouts, front load it with the compound lifts, and then have the back half more reserved where you're going to be doing less weight and where your energy is starting to wane anyway. And that's where you can do more of the sculpting and single joint exercises.
Wow. lot to digest there.
Sure. And it's, I hope I don't go too fast. I guess that's one of the benefits of being having
you're
things
recorded. You're giving a lot of great information. And as you're talking, I'm imagining applying all this stuff. So there's a plethora of things to apply, but it's all great. And it's all
good,
very basic.
Good. And it's the thing where, so what we've talked about here, and I think this is kind of one of the more important aspects that we come to all this. So I'm a comic book fan. I'm a comic book author, and so naturally I tend to gravitate and try to implement these things in such a way where my mind can understand them. And so if you're a comic book fan, and being the age that I am, there was a time there where the biggest name in comic books was Todd McFarlane. He's the creator of Spawn. He did art in Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. And he's a really talented individual. And so when McFarlane broke out and said he was going to create Spawn, he knew he wanted to build an empire. And his idea was, I need to build a sturdy house. And in order to do that, there's going to be four pillars that I'm going to build my house around. And so his ideas were comics, merchandising, so like toys and things like that, the movies and the cartoons. And so as a result, he went through and has built an empire based just on this one comic book. And so that's always, so I took that lesson to heart and I said, okay, so I want to go through and I want to adopt that same mentality of I want to go through and I want to build something. And if I do, I want to build it on a sturdy base. So one of the things that we've talked about here multiple times in these shows is that I feel that going through and developing a program like this, once you decide to get into bodybuilding, I think it can be not so much detrimental, but it can be a dangerous thing where you have to keep proper perspective. Because if you're to go through and you Google images of bodybuilders, you're going to see the absolute best in the world. And I think that would be like trying to compare yourself to a professional golfer or to compare yourself to any sort of professional athlete. Obviously, these are people that do it for a living. They're sponsored. You know, that's their whole job, is to look good in the gym. And so it's difficult for someone that has a 9-to-5 job to look like the way that these individuals do. Kind of like whenever you're going through and you're comparing people who, you know, play golf. You know, there's a very small number of people that shoot under 100 whenever it comes to playing that game. So I think it can be somewhat detrimental to go through and only base your success upon how you look physically, because to me, there's much more to it than that. And so this is the message that I try to send out to people that are listening here, when I talk to my friends about the programs that I'm on, things like that. And so again, we're trying to build this pillar. And this was a revelation that came to me here literally just this week. I knew I was going to come on here and talk. And so, again, the universe has presented this idea to me. Maybe it's just so I can come in here and talk to you and explain it and put it out there, you know, in response to the universe. So we're going through and we're wanting to build this house. So the three columns that we're going to go through and build this is, you're going to have your physical improvement, which is you will see it on a long enough timeline. Yeah. You're going to see your body start to develop. You're going to see these physical improvements. Then by going through and listening to interviews like this one, by going through and reading your articles and doing your studying, you're going to go through and you're going to develop a mental improvement. Because now you're going through, you're reading, you're learning, things like that. So that's going to go through and it's going to help focus your mind. And then the key part of this is an emotional improvement. I think that whenever you get in and you start seeing those changes start to occur, your confidence goes up. So the success will breed the confidence. And then as you become more confident, it's going to cause you to breed more success. And then at the same time, I've known the struggles of being overweight. I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. And so as a result, I want to come on here and talk to people about going through and making these improvements. This is my way of giving back, because I've been there. And I think unless you go through that pain, you're not going to be as willing to reach back and help other people. So it may be as simple as giving someone, you know, that thumbs up at the gym, or, you know, giving them that slight little bit of encouragement. I think that shows a degree of emotional improvement. So you get the confidence. And so there's your inner improvement, but then that confidence will begin to radiate out, and then you're helping other people. So the revelation that I talked about that I stumbled upon, maybe by accident, maybe again through force of the universe, it's I don't know how to quantify it. And maybe that's why it's part of the mystery, because it can't be quantified. But so there is this curious fourth pillar that is more in the center of all three of these other pillars. So if you're thinking about it like a tripod that you mm-hmm. use to put your camera on, that fourth pillar is actually located in the middle, surrounded by the physical, mental, and emotional improvement columns. And so, or I think, I believe it's called a Venn diagram. Is that the thing where you have the two circles and they start to intersect and you say, okay, so this part
I
in the middle
so.
Is it's a Venn diagram. I'd have to research that, but I believe that's what those things are called. So you go through and this fourth pillar, it feels like it's pulling energy off of each of the three equally. So it's hard for me to define. And so I really just kind of have to explain it. So one of the things that we talk about here on a regular basis is I'm not a big advocate of lifting heavy. You go through and you do your introduction, which I think is fantastic. And you basically explain where you're not able to lift the heavy weights that you used to be able to in your youth, but you're still dedicated to this art. So again, like so many Americans, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm happy with my current size. I would like to be able to keep my, I believe it's called the shoulder girdle. So it's I'm probably going to be eternally condemned into a 2XL shirt, and that'd be okay if I wasn't condemned to, you know, an XL waist. If I could get that waist down to an L, boy, I think I'd be really happy. But it's a difficult thing to do. So again, going all the way back to the beginning, whenever we first got started, you have to decide, okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to get big? Do you want to get strong? Do you want to lose weight? All that sort of stuff. And because those goals define what your lifting strategies are. So I've always been the thing where I'm fine with my size, but I'd really like to be able to lose weight and get cut. So basically I want to keep my muscle, but I want to lose my fat, which obviously is the hardest thing in the world to do, because I could go through and I could just do a diet, which would allow me to you just do a calorie deficit. But then everything shrinks and people look at you and they're like, have you been sick? And that's not really the level that I want to be at. So I eat a lot of protein. I try to limit my carbs. But then at the end of the day, if I want to try to get cut, so what I have to do is I have to change my lifting strategy. And so I rarely lift a heavy amount of weight. I know that's what a lot of people think that bodybuilding is into. Oh, well, these guys, they must go in and they're, you know, throwing around hundreds of pounds. And that's really not the case with a lot of bodybuilders. Instead, what it is, it's a lighter amount of weight, but I lift it for more reps.
For more
reps.
And
so as a result, yeah, this is keeping my muscles under tension for a longer time. And so it's requiring a more energy burn. It's requiring more of a fat burn. And this is why I like doing the antagonistic sets, because like if you go through and so let's say you go through and you do your bench press, okay, and then you move immediately from the bench press to the seated cable row. And so by doing that, what you're doing is you're allowing your chest to rest, but you're not allowing the rest of your body to rest. So you're going through, so while your chest is recovering, you're going through and you're working that back with the row. And then once you've done that, then you can set the weight down and maybe you walk around the gym, but for no less than a minute before you start the rotation over again. And so as a result, you're keeping your heart rate elevated, which that's going to burn more fat. So I'm lifting weight for a longer amount of time. I'm shortening my rests in between my lifts, and then I'm lifting a lighter amount of weight, but I'm doing it for a whole lot of reps. So in order for this to work, I have to commit to this strategy of lifting an insane amount of reps. And doing so requires a certain amount of mental fortitude.
Yes.
So for this example, let's just say I'm going to do 50 reps. And most people are probably only used to only seeing, you know, sets of 10, maybe sets of 12. So let's just say we're going to commit to 50 reps of something. Now, in order to do this, in order to achieve 50 reps, you have to drop that weight down by a lot, so much so that people are going to be looking at you and going, oh man, he's only lifting, you know, 90 pounds. Holy, oh, you know, calm down, big guy. You know, but then because they're just seeing how much you're lifting, they're not paying attention to how many reps you're actually doing. So then when you go through and you start lifting, and meanwhile, you know, you've started, they go through, they do their exercises, they set all the weights back down. Oh, and you're still lifting. And then they go and they get something to drink and they come back and you're still lifting. That's when they'll start to understand, oh, okay, so he's lifting a lighter amount, but he's doing it for a whole lot of reps. So you go through, and so let's just say, all right, so I'm going to drop this weight down in order for me to do 50 reps. So you start doing the first 10. And truth be told, they're pretty easy. Maybe they're even a little bit too easy. So then you get into that second set of 10 reps. And your body's only used to lifting like 10 or 12 reps. So once you get to 20, your body is going to start to panic. And it doesn't have anything to do with the weight. It's the simple fact that your body is used to only doing 12 and you've gotten to 20 and it's like, okay, wait, he usually shuts down by now. Why is he going? And so this is when the burn will begin. Then so you manage to get to 25 and mentally you realize you're only halfway there. So now, and this is when that mental fortitude really is going to have to start to kick in. So what I found is that I have to shift my mental focus. And so, okay, so I got to 25. Now I know I'm halfway there, but really let's just get 5 more reps. Okay. So then you go through and so now you're lifting and you got those 5. And this is where the pain is going to really start to get real. So this is where I change my mental strategy and I don't think about how many I've already done. Instead, I just have to think about how many I have left to go. And even just saying, okay, I know I have 20 to go. Instead, I'll tell myself, no, I have 2 sets of 10 to go. I'm doing anything that I can to shrink that number down mentally. So it's not 20 reps. I have 2 sets of 10. So then I'm going through, and so now I'm into so now I get to 40. Okay, well, so now I'm at 40 reps. I'm really starting to hurt, but at the same time, there's just 10 more reps to go. And this isn't a tremendous amount of weight. So come on, you're failing because your stamina is running out, not because you can't lift the weight. So just go ahead and crank out those last 10, because the last 10 is where you make your money. And if you quit before you get to that time where you can make your money, then the strategy starts to fall apart and you're not going to see the development that you want. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, can you dig down? And so I had my music on, you know, I just kept telling myself, you know, I didn't use the word freaking, but I said, dig freaking down. And, it didn't quite roll off the tongue that I wanted to. And I said, well, so what can I tell myself? What can I do? And that's when I started to channel my inner Matthew McConaughey. And I just told myself to JKL, which in McConaughey speak, that's just keep living. But in my mind, JKL is just keep lifting. So just keep lifting, man. Okay, so you're at 40 and it hurts, and I know it hurts, but man, just keep lifting. And so once you get to that, so in order to achieve that, it's not about physical strength. It's not it requires a certain mental fortitude. It requires a certain emotional component. So you're pulling from your physical strength. It's pulling from your mental, you know, from the mental of going, I know I can get, you're telling your brain is telling your body, this is what I'm going to do. And then you need to have that emotional component to say, this is what I want. This is how hard I have to work. So dig down deep, just keep lifting and go through and get it done. Now, this is not me saying that you have to be extremely macho or that you have to play through the pain. It's very important that you need to listen to your body. You need to listen to that central nervous system. But if the, and if you're if it's really hurting, then it's time to really back it off, and then probably end the workout because you don't want to injure yourself. But I believe that we're stronger than we think we are. And if you go through and you do those little mental changes of not sitting down and thinking, okay, I've got to do 50 reps because that can be mentally defeating.
Yes.
But instead you think, okay, let's just do 5 sets of 10. We're not doing 50. Let's do 5 sets of 10. Get to that halfway point. Get the 5. And then when you get to that, those last 10, man, just keep lifting. And I think when you do that, those final reps, that's the difference. You know, it's Schwarzenegger talks about those 1 or 2 extra reps. That's the difference between that's what makes you a champion. It's to be able to go through and push through that pain and get to that point. And I think once you're able to achieve that, then it's this weird mental awakening where it's like you realize you're more than what you're more capable of what you thought you had in you. There was more in the tank that you had to dig down deep in order to pull out. But by going through and doing that, and man, if you just keep lifting, that's where you develop that fourth pillar. And again, I don't know what to call it. Maybe I haven't wrapped my head around it enough. Maybe the answer will come to me soon. But it's developing that fourth pillar by going through and doing that. That's the key to put in place to really find a great degree of success.
If you, with me, that other pillar is arete. It's usually translated as virtue, but it means more like personal excellence, because athletes were thought to embody it and express it in ancient sports. And she was considered a goddess and features prominently in the choice of Hercules, where he's going down the road and he comes to a crossroad, and virtue and vice supposedly vie for his attention. And he chooses virtue and takes the hard path. In Greek, that's called arete. So it doesn't really translate.
Can you spell that for me?
A-R-E-T-E. And
okay.
If you notice on my personal workout, my quest for optimal wellness, I begin and end each week with an affirmation of arete, that in addition to, you know, cultivating my body for optimal wellness and for a mythic physique, I'm also doing it to develop greater arete so that I can better serve my loved ones, my community, my planet, and, you know, so forth. So for me, that's what that fourth leg would be.
So to me, yeah, that makes sense. So so now I'm glad that I was able to talk to you tonight, so that way I can kind of wrap my head around it, which again, this just goes back to that theory that we're all in this together. And
yes,
I think COVID has proven that. And so we're all able to learn from one another. And it's so one of the things that I think is really cool, you know, is the fact that there are certain precepts that do seem to be universal, you know, and so sometimes we all come to these different understandings by way of different paths, but yet there seems to be these universal truths that we can find amongst everyone. And so finding that fourth pillar, this is obviously not a novel or a new concept. I'm not anywhere smart enough to be like, I've found something that no one in the history of mankind has ever stumbled across. No, I mean, so there have been others across countless generations that have come to this same conclusion, but we all come to it through different ways. And so this is where, so now by us going through and discussing this tonight, hopefully there's someone else out there that's lifting or that's listening to this right now. And so they're going to take this into the gym. And so again, they can stand on our shoulders, so that way their journey is not quite so long and they can find this special area that we had to discover through our own personal self-discovery.
And you're very honest in sharing, and all my hosts in this series are also very honest in sharing this, that just because it worked for your bodybuilding idol doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. It's a great place to start doing what your idol did, but they're a different person with a different body, and you know, you really don't know what they did, you know, to get that body. Like, did they take steroids, for instance? I remember there was a bodybuilder called Manfred Hoberl. I don't know if you remember him.
No, I don't recognize him.
Back in the day, he had the hugest arms in the world, you know, and it was touted, and he was, and not that he wasn't strong, he was a strength athlete who did the heavy lifting type of things, the strength competitions, strongman competitions, I guess. So he was pretty strong, and he wrote a book, and of course I had that book, because I didn't want arms that big, but I wanted arms bigger than the ones I had, and I figured I could learn from somebody who attained to that level of growth. But it turned out in the long run that he used oil, you know, injecting himself with certain oils that gives you freakishly large muscles, and he just happened to be the first, so that nobody had seen that before. And on YouTube, also, a lot of bodybuilders show you what they really look like and how they look like they look in the magazines. That, you know, yes, you do need muscles, you know, so that you do need to have muscles, but it's mostly lighting and being sprayed with oil or water and like a bunch of other factors. And not all the heavy weights that are being lifted by your idols are real weights. For photo shoots, they sometimes use, you know, fake weights that are much lighter so they can get good pictures. So these I have my wall full of my bodybuilding idols, you know, that I try to emulate, you know, when I'm working out, and I could see them at all times. And that works very well in gyms as well. But it also behooves everyone to find out as much as they can, because a lot of times you can't attain to what these people are doing because these people are using some form of trickery or they're cheating in some way. So that doesn't prevent me from wanting the best mythic physique that I could build, but it kind of reality tests me, so I don't have unrealistic expectations, you know, that I know that, yeah, okay, I'm not going to be competing and people aren't going to be looking at me, so I don't need to spray myself with oil and so forth. I found that lifts a heavy burden from me as I'm working out. So I'm throwing it out here in case anybody else can benefit from it.
I do think that that's a really smart strategy. And it's one of the things that I think we've seen, be it clickbait or whatever you want to call it. So you see these articles and, you know, this is how Henry Cavill got so huge to play The Witcher. And then it goes through, like, here's his workout, and it lists, you know, six exercises. And so I think the uninitiated would look at that and they would say, oh, well, if I do this, I'll look like him. And it never works out that way. And I'm not saying that he didn't do those exercises, but there was a whole lot more that they didn't show you that he was a part of. And so you can see that in, I mean, because they're gonna have Chris Evans' Captain America workout and Chris Hemsworth's Thor workout. But then one of the things that they've talked about as the curtain is being drawn back on how a lot of these so-called average stars are developing these bodies is because with the Marvel formula anyway, they know to the day when they're going to have to do that shoot where they're going to have to take their shirts off. There have been incidences where you go through and you drink, I want to say it's like 2 gallons of water for 2 days, and then you don't drink anything for 24 hours. And so as a result, you're getting dehydrated, and so the muscles all look great, and because they know, okay, this is the day where I have to look like this, and then immediately after they've got the shot, then they're going back and they get to eat pasta or whatever. You know, it's Channing Tatum, who was in the Magic Mike franchise. He talked about how he worked out literally for months to go through and be for this one scene that's going to be on camera for all of 10 minutes. So he was like literally working out for months in order to achieve that 10-minute window that he needed to go through and shoot the scene. So, yeah, I do think that is smart. I think it's a mistake. I want to say the fortune cookie wisdom that's out there, comparison is the thief of joy. And I do think it's true because you can go through and you can see other people in the gym and you want to compare yourselves to them. And I think that's a mistake because you don't know their story. You don't know how long they've been working out. Or maybe I come in and I do my thing. There are times where, let's say, if I'm running late because I've slept in, you know, something like that, I'll switch up my cardio where instead of doing, you know, the treadmill, I'll switch over and I'll do the rowing machine. And the rowing machine I do really like because, again, it's lifting a small amount of weight for a whole bunch of time. So if I can go through and if I can get two rows in, it's where it's basically I'm doing like 30 rows a minute. And so, well, okay, so if I do that for 5 minutes, carry the one, you know, I say, wow, okay, I've done a lot of back exercises in, you know, in the span of 5 minutes, even though it's not a whole lot of weight, which is, again, my theory. So by going through and so maybe I go through and I'm running a little late, and so I'm in there for, you know, 30 minutes. And so someone sees me come in, I lift my weights, and then I leave. Well, that guy only worked out for 30 minutes. You know, of course he doesn't, you know. But then they don't know that this is my second time that I've been in there today, you know, so no one knows your story. So by going through and comparing yourself to other people that you're seeing around the gym, I do think that it's a negative mindset because there's always going to be someone that has more time, has more natural talent, things like that. And so you feel like you don't measure up to them when really from the beginning, I've always said about this, and I think if you carry this mindset, you'll see a much more satisfying result. I'm not competing against anyone. I just have to be a little better than I was yesterday.
Right.
And as long as you maintain that mentality, I think you're going to be better off. Now, the problem that comes, and this is what I have experienced, and going back to where I mentioned where I was in that little bit of a depressive state. I mean, we're all friends. I'll admit it. I was feeling bad mentally. I don't want to go so far as to use the word depressed because I know there are people out there who suffer from real legit depression. And I don't want to try to lump myself in with them. You know, if they're sad and they can't get out of bed. So it wasn't that, but I was, oh man, you know, so it was a very, very, very mild depression, but because I was looking at where I was before the pandemic and how, man, I was on that treadmill for an hour and I was lifting all these weights and I didn't get tired and I could lift for an hour. And now it's like, oh man, I mean, I can do an hour maybe of 30 minutes of cardio and 30 minutes of lifting and that's it. And that's all I got. And, you know, and then the tank is empty and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go home because, you know, the tank is empty. And so I was comparing myself to where I was in, let's just say 2019. And I feel like I'm not as good as I was then. And so that's where, you know, those hits can start to come. But then you've just got to go through and continue to power through. And then I know a lot of people think that gyms are in there because we're all mirrors are all in the gym. Because we're vain and we love to look at ourselves and things like that. And it's more about making sure that our form is correct and all that sort of stuff. And so I was in this machine. I have fallen in love with the seated press down. It's a pec machine that goes through it and develops your chest. But so you're going through and you're pushing this weight down. And so I absolutely love that. And as I'm going through and I'm working with that, it's developing my shoulders, it's developing my triceps, and then also developing my pecs. But so I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh, hey, well, hello there. You know, I haven't seen that muscle separation in a little while, but now it's starting to come in and develop. And so it's like, okay, yeah. So it's I remember what this was like. I remember the excitement of it. And so that's where, again, I found that fissure in the block of marble, you know, so I'm going through and I'm chipping away and then seeing that in the mirror there's my motivation to remember, oh, okay, this is what it was like. And this is why I'm so much, and this is why I'm in love with this. I don't really know what to call it really. It's not a sport because I'm competing against myself. I mean, it's not something that you're going to see on ESPN anyway, you know, it's this development for me in both the physical, the mental, and the emotional. And so by going through it and putting this all together, it's helping me develop into a better person. And so that's really my goal. That's always been my goal with any of this. Is it's not me coming along going, hey, why don't you get off your butt and do and lose some weight. It's never been about that for me. It's more along the lines of I want people to feel better and more confident about themselves. And I think by going through and developing a program with the tips and tricks that we've rolled out here tonight, hopefully that helps them do that. And it helps them go through and develop that confidence that I have whenever I'm getting in there and lifting weights.
And on that powerful note, you're succeeding admirably, by the way. On that note, we're going to wrap up the show. I'd like to give you an opportunity to share how people can find the Phoenix Project, how they can find Fury and Strength, and how they can contact you.
The way that you promote me on your page is absolutely fantastic. I'm horrible at self-promotion, but the way that you go through it and put me out there for everyone, that's honestly the best way. That's the best way to get in contact with me.
Awesome. What I started doing, and I'm going to do it here tonight, is I started copying and pasting the introductions that people have to what they're doing so that everybody can benefit from them and we can become a stronger community. So here's an example. Patrick Dupre, who's a member of our Sword and Sandal cinema community. And as you might surmise, lots of people in that community also were inspired to go beyond loving the movies to working out. So Patrick Dupre has a group called Old School Training on Facebook. It's a site for those who love weight training with mostly barbells and dumbbells. If you like the sound of iron plates being loaded onto the bar, this site is for you. You may post links directly related to training with barbells and dumbbells. Patrick recognizes that there are many modes of training, but old school training specializes in weight training. It's a public site, so please be respectful of others at all times. Hate speech and bullying of any kind will not be tolerated, which is as it should be. I will put together something, Ryan, for Fury and Strength and the Phoenix Protocols, or if you would like to do that, whatever you write up, at the end of certain shows, I'll be announcing these on a repeating basis, one or two per show. And
okay.
I'm going to do a review of your sites also. So this way, because I'll be doing book reviews at the beginning or at the end, depending on how the episode goes. So what I will be doing is I'll be, again, reading the reviews of your books because they're very inspiring. They're among my favorite graphic novels, as I've said many times. Your websites, I'll be treating those as reviews the same way I do books. I'll be reading those at the beginning of certain shows. So that'll be the next thing we do.
Okay. I'm more than happy to help out in any way that I can.
Thank you so very much. You're awesome, and I greatly enjoyed and learned from your presentation tonight. I'm looking forward to our next one.
I'll look forward to it as well, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure and my honor. Everybody who joined us from home, whether you listen to us live or whether you're going to be joining us later on demand, from us to you, until next time, have joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And because our programs are all about taking the dreams that are in your head and making them an actuality, we're going to finish with Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream. She shared her music here. She's won many awards for it since they were posted here on the site. She's an awesome musician.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real.